If you would please. We're on lesson 5 of Building Your Faith, Romans chapter 6. Building Your Faith. And this particular lesson is called, what do you have in front of you? A reckoning. Now say it with me, Southern. I reckon. I reckon. You ever heard that phrase before? How many of you understand that it is a Bible word? It's a Bible word. And the Greek word we're going to go into this morning, because it helps us in our conduct of our faith and our walk with the Lord. It is something that God gives us as a tool in the Christian arsenal. How many in this room as Christians want to be as strong as you can possibly be? Then God gives you tools to unlock doors into more effective power and more effective walking with the Lord. Do you believe that you were instantly perfect the moment you gave your life to Jesus? Oh, well, then there's a little transformation, isn't there? There's a little more walking with the Lord day by day. Positionally, we might be having everything, but practically, there's some walking out to do in our walk with God. Isn't that true? Can you say amen? How many of you know you still have some mind thinking and some heart changing and some attitude changing yet to go? It's not quite soup yet. There's some more change that needs to take place in our life. Now, reckoning is a theme that's in Scripture. The word for reckoning is used 41 times in the New Testament. We're talking about applied living and applied Christian living this morning, practical daily living. Reckoning empowers, enables, it helps to activate you in your daily experience to appropriate and walk in the truths that God has given you, the truths you've learned. How many of you know God doesn't want us walking around introspective, beat-up Christians who go, I just can't get any victory, I'll never have any victory, the devil's bigger than I am. How many of you know that's not what God has in mind for Christianity? Amen. God wants you to walk victoriously and powerfully with Him. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Great set of scriptures. We've talked about them in regards to baptism. Let's see what other further instruction it gives us. Likewise, I'm reading from the New King James, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But what? But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin, alive to God. Therefore, because this is true, when the word therefore is there, you see what it is therefore. That following phrase is highlighting truth that follows the first phrase. Therefore, because you are dead indeed unto sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't you let. Don't you allow. How many of you know God gives you the strength to make some right choices? God gives you the strength and power. It's what He gives us by His Spirit, by His grace. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Reckoning. What is it? It's a system of divine bookkeeping, if you will, in which the debit of sin is placed in Christ's account. And in exchange, His own righteousness, His purity, His holiness is credited to our account. Jesus Christ saved us by His grace, did His work on the cross of Calvary. He took our sin, we get His righteousness. How many of you can say amen? That's a fantastic deal. Fantastic transformation, fantastic change that takes place. And what God wants us to do with that truth is understand it, apply it, walk in it, which means we need to reckon on it. We need to count it so and understand this is the work that He has done in our lives. The believer accepts and considers as true to his own life all that God has done for him in the foundation stone experiences. What God has done for me, I receive by faith. If I gave you a brand new Jag outside this morning, brand new keys sitting in the car, I can tell you all day long, there's a Jag out in the parking lot for you. There's a hot car out there. Man, it's beautiful. It's brand new. It'd be the best thing you've ever driven. Comfortable, good, works, got power. How much power are you going to get out of that car if you sit in a building all day long and just talk about the power? But it's when you go out and get into that car, turn on the key, and drive away with it, then you know you've got power, right? Amen? If I gave it a car, won't do you any good until you get in it and drive. God can do things for us all day long, and He has. But there comes a time where we have to say, I've got a key, I'm going to open the door, let that power be effective in my life. Lord, I reckon on, I believe what you have done, and by faith, I receive what you have done for me. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. Now, whosoever believeth on him. How many understand his sacrifice was for everyone? But the ones who receive him and accept that sacrifice personally are the ones who have taken that key, unlocked the door, and received his grace in their lives. It's there. It's available. But does everyone receive it? Not everybody does. It's up to us to make the choice to receive. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in who? In him. Logizomai. Logizomai. That's the Greek word. Logizomai. Literally, it means to speak forth or to give the word. Again, it's used 41 times in the New Testament. Its common meaning is to count, to account, to consider in the account of. It means to settle accounts, to calculate, to compute, to consider, to suppose it to be so. Do you understand we're talking about like a system of bookkeeping here? You account what's in your bank account. You account for it. You count it to be so. Especially in your notes you have, to accept something as certain. To accept something as certain. He's done it for you. Do you accept what he has done? To rely on, to take into consideration, to consider as. Also commonly translated as reasoned, was numbered, was reckoned, counted, conclude, impute, think, suppose, should think. God is telling us there is something we can do that helps activate this faith in our life. It's how we receive. It's how we consider. It's how we reckon on him and what he has done for us. Reckoning is a command. It's not casual. Not kind of like, sort of maybe. It's not, okay, Christians, you gave your life to Jesus, wander around, flop around, do anything you want, and you'll be just fine. No, God gives us instruction in the Bible. Instruction on how to walk with him. Instruction on how to respond to him. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, what? To be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon on it. Say it with me. I reckon. I reckon. I count it. What? What are you counting? I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. That's what the Bible says. You know, in the Old Testament, when David was discouraged, when King David was discouraged, there's a verse that talks about how he encouraged himself in the Lord. People were all disputing. People were complaining and groaning and backbiting and doing all sorts of stuff against David. And you come to a place in Scripture where David says, and the Scripture says, and so David encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes that's what it takes in our walk with God. You might get discouraged or something might happen. Maybe you didn't walk exactly right, and so you go to Jesus and you repent of that sin and ask his forgiveness. Then you've got to get up and reckon on the fact, I know he's forgiven me. There's a declaration that comes out of your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. Reckon. It affects up here. It affects in here. It affects how we walk. I'm not just a Christian or trying to be a Christian on Sunday only, by word only. I'm trying to be a Christian 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That means my life changes. That means I need to embrace His provision for me in order to walk with Him. That's what reckoning is all about. Likewise, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. The command's clear. Now the choice to obey is ours. How much, how often we obey Him, how often we reckon on what He has done for us, that will help determine our practical outwalking of what He's given us. If we let the devil beat us up all day long, if we let sin rage through our life, if we let rotten attitudes rage through our life, if we backbite and dissension all day long, if we let that rage through our life, we're not going to be a very effective Christian. We're not going to be a very effective church. Amen or oh no? How many want to walk with God better? That's why we're doing all of this. How do we walk with God better? How do I become a better Christian? We are there positionally. But are we always there where He wants us to be practically? No. And so what we believe, what we understand, the transformation of our mind and our thinking to think His way, it's all a part of helping us walk with Him every single day. Reckoning is based on the atonement of Christ. That's your next fill-in. Is it a fill-in now or is it I give them? Reckoning is based on the atonement of Christ. How many of you understand Jesus did this work for you on the cross of Calvary? What we appropriate, how we walk with God, doesn't detract one whit from what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave us the strength. He defeated the devil. He did what needed to be done. But now it's up to us to receive Him. Our sins are done away with. We're brought back to friendship on God. It's not based on our actions. It's not on our works. It's on what He did for us. But we cooperate with Him and receive that work. God required justice for sin. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. When sin comes, the Bible says, death has come upon all men because of one man's sin. Death comes because of sin. Something has to die. The Old Testament, a lot of animals died. The New Testament, Jesus died. And now that's the final sacrifice. So we thank Him for what He has done for us. But that death occurred because of sin. That's what happened after the fall of Adam and Eve. Fig leaves were inadequate. How many remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They tried to sew together fig leaves and cover their nakedness. Didn't work, did it? You can try fig leaves all day long, and you're still going to be naked out there in your sin. And you'll look a little foolish, actually. But when Jesus washes us by His blood, that's the cleansing. That's the covering that is sufficient in every way. Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. Sin robs you of life. Now, come on. Every eye up here. Do you understand sin robs you from life? Look at each other. Say, sin robs you from life. Sin robs you from life. Steals life from you. You understand that? Whatever kind of sin it is. You want to go out and get drunk? Fine. You're going to lose some life. You might even lose your life. But you might sit here today and say, well, I don't go out and get drunk. Fine. How about your attitudes? Your attitudinal sin will rob you from life. Well, no, I don't have any bad attitudes. I just go complain behind everybody's back. I don't do anything bad. I just complain all day long. Whatever it might be. What is it this morning? Do you have an area where God's working with you? Are you a backbiter? Are you a gossip? Are you doing things that are sinful and wicked that will destroy your life and destroy the church? Will it destroy revival? Absolutely it will destroy revival. How many in this room want revival? Then how many of you understand we need to be clean before God if we're going to get it? How are your attitudes this morning? Ooh, Pastor Kev took the medley. Say, I reckon. I didn't take the medley. The Holy Spirit might. But you see, God is working on us. And so we need to go, wait a minute. I'm not acting like Jesus. The Bible tells me if I have aught, I go one-on-one to my brother, to my sister. I go take care of it biblically. I keep a tender heart. And if somebody says something I don't like, I don't rear up like a bear. I say, well, gosh, Lord, is there something here for me? And what can I do to help my brother and my sister walk biblically? How many of you really want to be a Bible kind of Christian? Come on. That's what it's all about. So we keep changing. And reckoning helps to deal with it. And we need to repent, receive forgiveness, and reckon on the fact we're clean. I reckon. But it's because sin is so awful, something had to die. Please close your eyes for a moment, because I'm going to minister for a moment. Some of us in this room, and in fact, I dare say if I'm alive, which I am, every one of us in this room has something where you know and I know God's at work in our lives. You need to stop long enough and say to yourself, my sin is wicked. Now, I'm not trying to be a bad news person. Keep your eyes closed. But I'm trying to say something before God as a pastor because I love you in Christ. God wants us clean and to be repentant from sin. Maybe you didn't smoke and chew and run with those who do. That's not the point. God's continuing to change us. With your eyes closed, can you say amen?
Amen.
Your sin is wicked. And when you see it, that Jesus died for your sin, then it helps you come to a place of repentance. He died for you and for me. Now we get to be clean. Jesus, I repent of those sins this morning. I don't want to hold up revival. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to be that way. Change my life, Lord. By faith, I receive forgiveness. Is there anything in your life God's working on? Take care of it. Respond to Him. Receive His forgiveness. Then reckon on it. Let's go on. Only Christ met God's demand for judgment. Exodus 12, verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's what the Bible says. The plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Folks, you know what good pastoring does? Good pastoring says, how can we walk better as a Christian? How can we do better what Jesus wants us to do? Get out of sin. Sin will destroy you. That's what a good pastor does. If I just said all day long, roses are red, violets are blue, I love you, so boo-hoo. That's not going to help change anybody. Me either. Sin destroys us. Let's get out of sin. How many want to be free from every sin?
Yes.
Amen. The plague, representing sin. When I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. I won't put that plague on you. Romans 5, 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we'll be saved from wrath through him. If we sin, we ask him to wash us clean with his blood. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Because of the fact of the atonement, I can reckon to my account all of its benefits. And reckon to Christ all of my sin. All of my sins. If you could raise that just a little bit, please. I am to reckon that I am totally righteous before God. Are you washed clean by the blood of Jesus this morning? You can then say, I'm totally clean before God. What a great statement. I don't have to walk around in shame. I don't have to be condemned. I'm free. I'm clean. Praise God. Feel like, you know, Martin Luther King. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Are you free? In Christ? Amen. That's what it's all about. But to him who believes on him, who justifies the godly, Romans 4, verse 5, his faith is accounted or reckoned for righteousness. Reckoning, next, is based on, it's based on Jesus. It's based on what he has done. And it's also then, thankfully, based on water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can reckon on the experiences you've received with Jesus. Those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's not something to make you proud. It's to give you more power and effective power to walk with him. And you can reckon on that. You can say, wait a minute. I know I received that experience. We got the privilege of praying with somebody last week. Glorious, wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit. Powerful, precious. Man, rivers are flowing. You know what? Write down that date in your Bible when things like that happen with Jesus. Because the devil will come along and try to say, you're a terrible person. You really didn't receive this. And this isn't really valid. And you wait, and you go back to the front of your Bible and say, hey, wait a minute, right there. On that day, that happened in my life. Some of your spouses need to reckon on the day you were married, right? On that day. Yeah, that happened. But it happened. I'm separated. Not from my spouse, to my spouse. But you see my point? There comes a time, sometimes, when temptation will come, discouragement will come, things will come to blow apart your walk with God, and that's the time you say, wait a minute, on that day I know I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I am free from sin, and I'm not going to walk in condemnation anymore. Reckon. Logizomai. Look at each other and say, logizomai. You're a Greek scholar this morning. You understand he's transforming our minds. He's transforming our lives. Transforming our attitudes. Transforming our hearts. If you think you're free from transformation, you didn't buy into sincere Christianity. Because Jesus says, you're not done till you look just like my son. You're not done till you're just like my son. It rhymes. You can say it with me. You're not done till you're just like my son. Reckoning is based on what he's done. We identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. Do you not know, Romans 6 again, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, find out what the therefore is there for. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? In newness of life. The key is, now that you've come to Christ, now that you're baptized, now that you've received this, you identify with him and you get a brand new life. Amen. When you got saved, did you want to get rid of the old life? I did. I was only 16, but I was a terrible 16-year-old sinner. Oh, and the bank robber, don't look at me suspiciously. I'm sitting there, some of you guys going, yeah, I believe that. So are you. Right? Whenever you gave your life to Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, you come to Christ and get free from the old. I'm not that old thing I was anymore. Thank God I'm brand new. I reckon that I'm in new life. Likewise, the Bible says also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's just as important, your next sentence, just as important to emphasize or reckon on being resurrected with Christ as it is to emphasize and reckon on your death and burial with him. Your whole new identity is with Jesus. How many of you understand when you come to Christ, it's not just putting off sin, you're putting on Christ. It's a surrender to the Master. It's not just I got saved, now I'm going to go to heaven someday. It's I'm going to have my life transformed to be like him. I put off sin, I get forgiven, I put on Christ and walk like him. Next, we reckon daily on circumcision of heart, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. My heart separated to God. My heart is his. My heart is tender and soft and yielded to him. These are not just symbolic experiences. When you gave your life to Jesus, was it just symbolic? No, you surrendered to him. There's power, efficacious power, the Bible shows us, as we open the door into a fresh power from him. That doesn't detract from the cross. It helps us walk with him. These are experiences in which he gives us greater power. Dunamis power, the Bible says. There's another Greek word. It means it's like dynamite. The word dynamite comes from it. Dunamis power. Victory for every single day. God's gifts to enable us to walk with him. Repentance, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, all of them making their impact in our lives, just like me saying, here's your car, go out and drive it, lots of power. He's saying, here's your new life, go out and walk it, reckon on it, lots of power. That's what it's all about. Walking with him daily, acting on the facts. Open up, if you're sitting there condemned and you know there shouldn't be, open up your bank account of the Bible and start reading about what's in your account, the beauty of what he's provided. Now, let me talk just a moment. Let me use an illustration. Royal is a craftsman with his hands, works in wood. How many of you understand, if you've ever been over to Royal's shop, thank you very much, Royal's shop has lots of different tools. How many of you understand there's a right tool for the right occasion? Now, he could have worked on this pulpit all day long with a hammer. Taking the hammer, and that's his only tool. How many of you understand if he'd only used his hammer, it probably wouldn't have looked just like this? He used a multitude of different tools, didn't he, Royal? God gives us a multitude of different tools that enable us to walk effectively with Him, look like Him, act like Him, be like what He wants us to be. Repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you just think baptism or baptism in the Spirit is symbolic, look in the Scripture. Now, was the baptism, did you receive just a symbolic baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. There's effective power, ongoing power. Does that detract from repentance? Does that detract from Jesus? No, it uses the tool that He's given. Now, some people, let me just jump into this for a moment, by the way. Some people teach circumcision of heart and water baptism. Some people will teach that as an end-all of end-alls. You are sinless the moment you come out of the water. You are perfect now as a believer. I'm not teaching that. That's going too far. It'd be wonderful if that were the case. The reality is there's an effective power released in our life to enable us to walk with Him. I'm not talking about the sinless perfection of the believer or a baptismal regeneration. Right now, we're in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just talking symbolic, I'm talking power. When you reckon on what He has done, is it all up to you and that's what enables you to be a Christian? No. But it's a tool called transform your thinking, speak it out of your heart, declare the truth, and walk in victory. That's a tool God puts in your hand. Some people need one of these. Why? To help them walk better. God gives us a lot of tools to help us walk better. Come on, amen? Isn't that true? That's what Christianity is all about. That's what taking building your faith is all about. That's why we're looking at foundation stones, to help us walk better as Christians. All right, let's talk about temptation and provision. Temptation is not sin. Circle it, or write it in big, bold letters. Temptation is not sin. Remember, repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit do not do away with all temptation. Don't you wish they did, church? They don't do away with all temptation. In fact, might not necessarily do away with any of it. What it does, it's a key. These are keys to unlock the doors, to give you more power, so now you can stand against the temptation. Did you follow that? Simple point. You've got more power now to stand against temptation. That's what it's all about. Baptism doesn't make you instantly perfect. Baptism doesn't get you saved. There are some well-meaning Christians who teach you get baptized in our tank, you're going straight to heaven. I don't believe that's what the Scripture says. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, only through His work on the cross of Calvary. You get baptized because you're saved. You understand the difference? Huge difference, by the way. Jesus went into the wilderness testings, this is important, after His baptisms. Jesus went into the wilderness for His testings after His baptisms. Then Jesus, when He had been baptized, came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness so Jesus, with that same Holy Spirit that you've got in your life, could demonstrate power and victory over the devil. And He enables us to have power and victory over the devil. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is in us. Come on, amen or oh no. Not a different Holy Spirit. Jesus shows us how to walk with God. He became a man like you and me. Tempted, the Bible says, in all points like we are. How did He have victory? Well, He was just sinless. Well, He was tempted in all points like we are. You ever, come on, church, ever had any strong temptation? Anybody, you honest enough to say you had strong temptation? Jesus was tempted just like you are. But He didn't sin. And He walked with God and communicated with His Father. And He had the Holy Spirit in His life and the powerful Word of God. And He walked with Him to show us how to walk with Him. If it happened to Jesus, don't be surprised if testings come to you. The Holy Spirit is with you to give you strength and victory over the devil. I don't feel like I've got the power. Ever felt like that? I woke up today, I'm sure the power flew out the door. I woke up today, I think God packed his bags, moved out. Not true. Not true. But it does feel like that sometimes. What are some common confusions? Okay, I thought I would no longer have to struggle with temptation. Church, why do Christians sin? Do you understand that you are swimming upstream in a downstream world? Sometimes it feels like there is a struggle going on. We are swimming upstream in a downstream world. There are a lot of temptations. What you watch on television, what you watch on the movies, the things you read, those all help make impact as well. And they can weaken your faith. I'm not sitting here being a little goody-two-shoes saying, oh, now don't ever go to a movie. Hey, I'm not saying that. But if going to that movie weakens your walk with Jesus, you probably better stay away from that movie. So the issue is, we've got a lot of pressure against us to sin. Now, please understand, when you become a Christian, you get a new spirit. You're saved. You get a new heart. But do you understand you still wrestle with the transformation of your mind and soul? Your mind, your soul, mind, will, and emotions. You still are being transformed, the scripture says, by the renewing of your minds. God changing any thinking? You bet he is. The renewing of your mind. You don't have and by the way, how many understand you don't have a new body when you get saved? Wish you did. Get baptized, come up another 50 pounds lighter again. Yeah. That'd be nice. Okay, yeah, I'll get baptized over and over again. That's not it at all. We'll go to heaven someday, we'll have our bodies transformed. But right now, in this present time, God is transforming our thinking and changing our minds, renewing our hearts. Temptations still come from our mind, our body's old conditionings, our thought patterns, our lifestyle, our habits, our customs, our addictions. Temptations still come. And one of the keys for your victory that God is teaching us this morning from the Word is to reckon. Come on, look at each other once again and say, reckon. 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 Reckon on what God has done. Logizomai. 41 times in the New Testament. It's important to God. I want you to reckon. This is what's in your life. This is what's in your bank account. Declare it. Proclaim it. Preach it. Amen. You all become preachers. Preach to yourself. Hey, Kevin, quit being down in the dumps. Look what God's done for you. You don't have to go that way in sin and temptation. Look what Jesus has done. He's changed your life. Praise God. Good thing you're back away from that front row there. Sorry. I'm tempted. Does that mean my baptism in water, my baptism in the Holy Spirit were invalid? No. Now, let me say a simple phrase. Please don't misunderstand me. Your baptism works. You need to work your baptism. Repentance works. You need to work your repentance. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean you're going to save yourself? No, Jesus does the work. But he is saying, look, let your mind be changed. Let your heart be changed. Apply the scripture. Stand with each other. Pray for each other. Start to tell the devil to get off your case in Jesus' name. Rise up with power because God's put it inside of you. You understand that? That's the kind of power he's given. Use the tools God has given you. That's what speaking in tongues is for. We talked about that last week. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. A building up, a strengthening, an edification in the Spirit. Use the tool. Doesn't detract from Calvary. It's a further strength from his hand as you walk with him. All right, I'm tempted. Does that mean those things weren't any good? No, we talked about that. You have to work them. You declare what he's done. If I do everything right, then will I grow as a Christian and be free from temptation? What do you think? No. No, you'll grow as a Christian, but you won't be free from temptation. But probably you will notice perhaps fewer things tempt you like they used to do, and maybe the same things that were monsters in your life aren't as tempting. Maybe there's another little monster or two. But the same old things don't tempt you in the same ways they used to once God has given you that kind of power and you begin to reckon on that power. Reckon and walk in the light he's given. and appropriate His provision. Jesus lives through us. We grow in expressing, folks, His maturity. He walks in us. Does Jesus live inside your life? Do you know He's struggling sometimes with us to get us to stop sinning and start living what He wants us to walk? When you're going contrary to His Word, you're fighting against the Lord to go turn your back on Him and go sin. God wants us to express His life. Response to temptation, the next one, is your choice. It's your choice. Take personal responsibility for it. Your choices determine if your foundation stone experiences are a cure-all. Do you know what the Bible says about the tongue? The tongue is what? The most unruly member. It sets on fire the entire hordes of hell. The tongue divides. And out of the same mouth comes bitter, brackish water and sweet, precious water. Is that a way for a Christian to live? Do you sometimes let the words spew out of your mouth and then take your sword and go, Zorro was here? Sometimes we live like that, don't we? Is that godly? No. Is Jesus after changing us? Yeah. If we get a grip, why am I emphasizing that? Because if we'll get a grip of understanding that He really wants to change us, He wants to change that mouth, that heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what's the transformation process like? First, you have to see how wicked the sin is, like with anything. Then you begin to allow it to transform you. You let the Spirit begin to come upon you. And just before you say those things, you stop and you go, I shouldn't say that. Don't look so holy. Has anybody been there? You know, you start to say something to somebody and you go, I shouldn't say that. You have a choice right at that moment to obey the Spirit or not. And you're all mature enough, most of us. You're not just brand new in Christ. You know when the Spirit is saying, don't say that. Restrain yourself. Let the Spirit restrain you. Church, do you want to help each other grow? That's what family's all about. We're here this morning to help one another grow in Jesus. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Let's help each other. Sometimes if somebody says things to you that are bad-spirited or rotten and you know it's gossip or whatever it is, you need to put your fingers in your mouth. Or in your mouth. That's good. That would probably stop them too, wouldn't it? Put your fingers in your ear and say, I don't want to hear that ungodly stuff. If you've got a problem with the brother or sister, this is family we're talking about. Go get it right with them. Do the Bible's thing. Go the Bible knows what's best. You know what's wrong with going and dumping on somebody else? The dumpster gets affected, the dumper gets better, and the person who's got the problem with you or you have the problem with doesn't even know what's going on. That's ungodly. That's wicked. And pretty soon what happens is you get a little camp of people all supporting you, saying, there. Now, aren't you right and they're terrible? And that's wicked. The Bible says, go to your brother or sister and say, let's talk it out. That's Christianity. Next week, we talk about communion. This is the heartbeat of communion. Jesus died to stop that wicked, wicked, sinful stuff that takes place. And we need to help one another by saying, no, I'm not going to hear that. You go to them. Talk to them. We're family. And family takes care of things right. Amen? Amen. Didn't your mommy and daddy ever teach you better? What did you grow up learning? Mommy and daddy, even if you didn't have a full set, one of them probably said, you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing. Right? Come on, amen or oh no. Reckon. Why am I talking about this? Because it's the most easily understood and applied potential point of what He's transforming us. I'm not looking at a whole group of people that go out and kill cows on your spare time. And, you know, we're not going cow tipping out there. We're not doing lots of other big overt sins. But, you know, we do these. And so I'm trying to help us apply. How has He changed us? How can we grow? How can we help one another? Reckon. That you're new and beautiful, Reckon the Spirit of God's inside of you. And reckon on this true thing called Christianity. And if you've got a problem, reckon on the fact that God's going to help you work it out as family, and you go to one another and keep things beautiful together. Amen? Yeah. Keep it beautiful together. If I'm right, if I do everything right, will I grow? Sure. Will I be free from temptation? No. Reckon and walk on the light He's given. Appropriate His provision. We grow in expressing His maturity. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Next, response to temptation, like we've said, is your choice. Your choice. Number three, you've been given strength to have victory like you've never had before. You're empowered to make the right choice. Oh, I want to go through this. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make the right choice in Christ. I'm going to go get it right with my brother. I'm going to go bless them. Hey, how many want to be blessers? Come on, look at each other. Say, I want to be a blesser. You know, when you talk about the stuff we've been talking about, how many of you understand if you dump stuff on somebody that's the wrong party, you might feel bad, but you weren't a blesser. Sin robs life. When you walk away from a conversation like this, come on, let's just be honest. When you walk away from a conversation like that, do you feel better? Did that conversation help you feel closer to Jesus? Did that conversation make you want to get down and be on your knees together and pray? Did that conversation help you want to say, come on, let's take hands, let's worship Jesus together? Do you know that's how we're supposed to encourage and edify each other? Let's grow. Spouses? Spice? That's the plural of spouse, right? Spouses? Friends? Yeah, okay. Friends? Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. But, hey, what's our heart? I went somewhere last night, and the whole focus of heart was just to be a blessing. We came here to this church, to this neighborhood, to bring a blessing. Speak blessing. When you're done with your conversation, look back behind you and ask yourself, did I bless them? Are they stronger now that we've been together? Are they stronger now that I've been with them? Did I help them, Lord? Reckon on it. Reckon on it. Response is your choice. You're empowered to make the right choice. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. Instruments of unrighteousness to sin. You're dead to that. Now present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If you're tempted, God's allowing you to be tempted because He wants to show you, I put power in you and you can pass this test. Amen? God's only allowing you to be tested because He wants you to know, hey, you're strong. You can do it. You know all the angels of heaven are sitting in heaven cheering for you? Come on, you can do it. Man, go for it, go for it. And that's why we're family and God together. We see you making the right choices and we go, whoa, praise God, look at that. Cheer for each other. Hallelujah. Isn't that a lot better than that one you had to say? But isn't that a lot better than division and problem? Cheer for each other. I want your best. I want your growth. I want your help. Praise God, you can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I reckon. Your temptations are not any worse than anybody else's. No worse than what you can handle or resist. If you will resist, He is the way to escape. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you understand Jesus did not have an old sin nature, but He had a natural soul? You understand that? He had the same temptations. That's what that refers to. He took on the form of a man. He overcame. He was tempted like all of us. Now, okay, when you yield to Satan, you establish his command. You establish his command. That's your next fill-in, his. Even though it is illegitimate. When you yield to temptation, you establish it as fact. It becomes real sin. When you yield to God and reckon on what He has done for you, you further establish your victory as fact. It doesn't take much change of spelling But you can either argue with God or you can agree with God. Let the actions of your life agree with your provision in Christ. That's what we are to do. The devil wants to deceive you into thinking that you don't have the provision of Christ. That's called deception. He tries to lie and deceive. He wants to deceive you right out of your victory. You know that, church? That's what temptation is all about. All right, how to wreck it. Number one, give yourself to meditation on God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Give yourself to meditation on God's Word. Oh, how I love your law, it says in Psalm 119. It is my meditation all the day. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, what? So is it. When we are one water, the Word transforms our thinking. We put on the mind of Christ. Ephesians 5. God loved the church and gave himself to it, that he also might cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. That's what God wants. He got resting. Church growth, by the way, church, you understand? Church growth is not just numbers. Church growth is getting Christians to be better Christians and be more like Jesus. There's all sorts of ways to identify church growth, and they're all involved. But getting us to be more like Jesus is immensely important church growth. Give yourself to praise and worship. Singing helps you remember His Word. So give yourself to praise. Well, you know, we sing a bunch of the old choruses and gospel choruses, and some of the names come directly from Scripture. I remember when I first got saved, we were singing out of what was called the Psalter. Remember all the old Psalters? And all the time, and they were spread out of the Scripture. It was one of the best Bible verses. It's fantastic. So give yourself to that. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in songs, and spiritual songs. Worship, keep your eyes on yourself and on the temptation and on the Jesus. Next, give yourself to Jesus during times of suffering and testing. Give yourself to Jesus. Tough times come to everybody, folks. They really do. Some of the people in this room have been through some really, really tough times in the last year, year and a half. Just remember, God has not abandoned you or them. Hold on and keep trusting. Give yourself to Him. Give yourself to confessing and proclaiming what God has done for you. Understand in your heart and mind what God has done for you and declare it.
Understand that this whole business of reckoning is to help us proclaim what God has done for us. This is the power of a positive confession based on proper positive thinking. You can go around positive thinking all day long, right? You know, you've all heard about positive thinking. You can positive think all day long. I am not a worm, I'm a man. You can think all day long positive thoughts. But proper positive thinking is thinking what the Bible says about you. I am a new believer. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Word is near you, even in your mouth. That's what the Bible says. You know, when you start talking like that, stop long enough to listen to the words that come out of your own mouth. Sometimes you need to hear yourself say the right things, don't you? We have the same spirit of faith. I believed, and therefore I spoke. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, I want you to understand that the person with an argument is always at a loss to the person with an experience. And this deals with anything. You're giving your life to Jesus. Some people think you're just crazy to sing songs about bloody lambs, to sing songs about giving your life to Jesus. Some people think it's just way off track. How many of you understand that's not true? But people don't know, and they don't understand that. So hold on. Hold on and understand. I am saved by grace. I have experienced this in the Lord, and the person who doesn't have that experience in the Lord, well, we just pray that they will want to come to Christ and give their life to Him. Are you glad you're a Christian? Did everybody get pleased when you gave your life to Jesus? No. Person with an experience based in the Word, you have some confidence to stand on. Some think you're crazy when you believe in speaking in tongues. Remember, most of the people that think things like that don't usually compare you to Jesus or the Scriptures, okay? So people that think you're crazy to become a Christian don't usually look at you and say, you look just like Jesus today. So don't get shaken when people say things like that about you. Hold on and reckon on what God has done. One of the reasons we give a whole scripture page to every lesson is so that in your own Bible, you can look it up in context. Check the scriptures out, whether these things are so. We want you to know the scriptures. That's what it's all about. The purpose of Door of Grace is to help people know Jesus, to understand His Word, to become strong Christians, and to live His Word more fully. When attacked for your faith in any dimension, reckon. Reckon on what God has done for you and proclaim it. All right, what do we reckon on? Reckon on all of God's promises. All of God's promises. What He has said, He has done for me. Reckon that you are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what the Bible says to reckon on. Dead to sin, alive to God. Reckon that you are indeed righteous. You are righteous. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. You're clean. How many of you understand the devil's a liar? Has nothing good for you. So when he's tempting you, he's throwing you away, he's lying. Don't believe him. Reckon that you have the mind of Christ. The what? The mind of Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 says. And it talks about bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. Think His thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8. Listen to this. Here's how we should be with one another. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just. This again is Philippians 4, verse 8. And we're reckoning that we have the mind of Christ. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, reckon on these things. Logizomai. 41 times in the New Testament. It must be important to God. How you think and what you proclaim is important. Reckon that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. And when you're thinking of yourself as a poor, miserable Christian who cannot overcome that temptation, begin to proclaim, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. When you reckon on what He's got for you, when you reckon that you're His own, we sang that last song this morning, I love Him because He first loved me. He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Reckon then, the next point, that you are His son or daughter and His heir, H-E-I-R. Your inheritance is what He has provided. Right? Y'all looking forward to a big inheritance someday. You got a big inheritance now. He's provided it already. Reckon, next point, that you have victory. You are free in Christ. You're free in Christ. Did Jesus give you enough provision so you don't have to go and sin today? Stop. Now, do you have to sin today? I mean, do you have to? How about in the next 10 seconds? Go ahead. Can you stand against sin? You sure? Or did you think something bad about me just then? Can you stand against sin? Sure. Did He give you provision? You bet. We don't have to go that way. Our expectancy should not be to go sin. Our expectancy should be to walk with Him. Again, we are not saying the believer cannot sin. That's the absolute sinless perfection of the believer. We don't say that here. We say He's given us provision to help us walk with Jesus Christ. The key to unlock the door to greater provision. Revelation 12, verse 11. Let's close with this scripture. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. By the blood of the Lamb that washes us clean, and by the word of their testimony. Reckon. Can you reckon on the good news of what Jesus has done for you? Say it with me. I reckon. Amen.